It's time now for World Watchers International with Mae Brussel, who for over 17 years has investigated and exposed political conspiracies worldwide. World Watchers International originates at KLRB, Carmel, California. Here's Mae.
Good evening. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. This is tape or broadcast number 480, and it's February 15th, 1981. I want to apologize to the subscribers and other listeners for last week. The power went off. There was a description in the Monterey Herald. The next day, electricity in Lower Carmel Valley and Carmel Highlands was knocked out. Sunday evening, 903 customers suffered a power outage for 6 minutes, but 15 others had a power outage until the next morning. KLRB was one of the 15 that had the electricity out until the next morning. They blamed the outage on a malfunctioning transformer in an underground vault, and so it goes. I've never been in a circumstance like this where I had to cancel the tapes, and I was up till 3 or 4 in the morning writing to subscribers and apologizing, but I didn't want to put the program on another time during the week and lose the continuity with the listeners who are used to having the program on Sunday night. And I had a very important story I wanted to get started with all of you, the regular listeners in the local area and in Santa Cruz, Salinas, and Monterey Peninsula, as well as the subscribers. And I'm going to stick with that one story and its tangling alliances. It's complicated enough tonight. And there are other stories in the news that I'm going to put off, as important as they are, until probably next week. I'll just mention them briefly because you'll wonder if I'm getting the stories or not. One is the Soviet replies to Haig and his attacks of them on terrorism, and they're accusing the United States of political assassinations in the United States and killing Aldo Moro in Italy and retaliating with charges of American assassinations of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and others. I want to talk about the new house un-American activities and the escalation of suppression at home. Johnny Meyer in Canada, I mentioned a few weeks ago, had charges that the CIA took over the Hughes organizations and that Howard Hughes was not buried in Texas. And this week, the Beverly Hills police charged him with a murder charge of Alfred Wayne Netter in Beverly Hills. It happened in 1974. Johnny Meyer called me. He knows he was framed, and he's panicky about the use people will do. They'll either kill him or lock him up. I said, write a 10 or 20-page story like the Gemstone Files, which came out of my house originally, Bruce Roberts' Gemstone story. Give the worst charges of the CIA of what they did, how they kidnapped Howard, how they killed him, how they killed Robert Kennedy, everything that you know about the LAPD and the intelligence community, and you send it to me, and I will mimeograph 20 sheets and ask people to receive them to mimeograph 20, and we will cover the United States and get subscribers to receive these and send them to the Associated Press, United Press, Time, Newsweek, and so forth. So Johnny Meyer, finally, he's worked with the Hughes people 10 years. He says he's had enough, and maybe some of the stories that I have been telling you about the past 9 years will come through when he gets this typed up and we get going with that. I want to talk about the USSR answer to United States charges of expansion. That's different than the terrorism. And the flight of 70 top Russian military officials that were killed this last week and buried already. That's a very big story with strong international implications. We could be on the world verge of the war right now if Haig and his gang and Casey planned that plane sabotage, or it has other implications that I want to go into. It was secreted for days. The men are already buried, but top officials of the Soviet military, 70 of them. I want to talk about the Lincoln Brigade. It was the anniversary of their reunion and the significance of the Lincoln Brigade and the first freedom fighters that went out to fight Hitler and Mussolini in Spain and fight Franco, and I want to talk a little bit about them and compare the kind of work that I'm doing and some of you researchers are doing. Although we haven't put our lives on the line yet, the time will come, and these men alerted us long ago. I spent the last 3 weeks reading David Lifton's Best Evidence. I read it for 1 week, 700 pages. I outlined it another week And I'll be talking about that controversial book on the Kennedy assassination. There's legislation in Sacramento to outlaw the Klan and the Nazi Party. This may be the only chance, if this is turned down, for the United States to stop them. I want to talk about the Alpha 66, the assassination teams, and Bill Moyer's movie on CIA, on the CIA secret army, and how they're a rogue elephant out of control now with their ability to bomb and kill, and where they're going from there. New information on the Lindbergh case that just came from the National Archives. I've talked about the kidnapping of the Lindbergh baby and Bruno Hauptmann being framed. New information in the news the past few weeks on that. There are kamikaze troops, 25,000 of them in Africa, in a country, Malawi, M-A-L-A-W-I, and if you don't know it, it's right on your map of Africa. Look it out. They have now 25,000 kamikaze, and South Africa has offered them atomic bombs, and there's a threat to kill black Africans with the atomic bomb in this country. That would be cute, because whatever is left, South Africa would have a better chance of controlling. They're offering them atomic bombs. The Nazi and the Klans are together in Riverside, California. Articles coming out of there. And one of the Nazis there at this present time is Thane Caesar, the man who shot and killed Robert Kennedy from the back of the head, who's living in Riverside, working with the Nazi Party, never put in jail. And the consequence of not stopping these assassinations is that these people continue with these far-right assassination teams in the boonies, such as Riverside, California. I want to talk about Bill Haley, the musician who died in Texas, one of the fathers of rock and roll. He was still young when he was found dead. The Moral Majority has come out for the death penalty of homosexuals this week. And 2 days after they did that, there was the Hilton fire in Las Vegas, where they blamed a homosexual with a smirk on his face who smokes marijuana and reads nonfiction books. His buddies have gotten away, and the fire was started in a lot of other places. But this came right after the announcement of the intention of the death penalty for the homosexuals. There are some important murders in the Bay Area. University of California in San Francisco, the dean of pharmacy at UC Medical School, Dr. Jorgensen, was murdered today. It was in the paper. And a cyanide poisoning at Stanford, of Franz Sondheimer, a chemist teaching at Stanford University, who fell over in the lab and died of cyanide poisoning. And the death of David Wilson, a drug enforcement agent who had links to both Stanford and San Francisco Medical School, who worked in the Marines he was with Nixon's drug enforcement agency. He was in Milan. He called home that he just caught one of the big drug dealers from Iran, and he had one of those famous diseases, their apparent heart attacks, a young man, and he died, the common denominator. The Bay Area again, and there are quite a few deaths taking place. There was a reign of terror in the home of Richard Burke, the aide to Senator Ted Kennedy, that smacks of danger and includes a note that they're going to kill Ronald Reagan's son. I'm sure that's the one, the ballet dancer, the Secret Service is on that case. New information on the Lennon killing and Mark David Chapman. And next week I will get to the Philip Thompson case in San Francisco, Philip Thompson, John Abbott, and Michael Hennessy, and the murder of a woman who I believe that case is directly linked to what I'm going to talk about tonight. I think they'll all fit together, so I'm going to put that off till next week. That is the group called, in quotes, the headquarters of International Crime Conglomerate up in San Francisco, with links to Vancouver and to El Salvador, to the right-wing group, and Bolivia and Colombia. Drugs, Nazis, far-right, involving prison guards supplying the weapons. I mentioned it briefly several weeks ago. And then next week I'll talk about Dewey D. from the Philippines, described as the Philippine Rockefeller or Robert Vesco, who took $70 million out of the banks in the Philippines in case the government collapses. The Marcos and the crime syndicate are taking their cash out of the Philippines. And I'll talk about Michael Sindona and that helicopter almost escaped from the federal prison in New York. And the links to the attorney for David Chapman, Mark David Chapman, Lennon's killer, and to the intelligence and police gang, strong links to that. Those are a lot of stories, and I'm not going to touch any one of them. Would be an hour discussion to cover it thoroughly, but I mention them because they're in the news, and I had a lot of conflicts of whether to bring some of those in tonight, but we're going to put all of that off until future dates, a lot of them hopefully next week. What I want to talk about tonight is what it could possibly have all the earmarks of the Reagan Gate. They call this the zero factor, where the president gets shot, ending this in this time period, the one election elected in 1980. I think that there's another way to slip the rug out of that old man and let Mr. Bush be president and maybe Haig be vice president. And I think that Reagan is very vulnerable, and there are some rumblings here of the beginning of Reagan-gate, and I want to go over them with you as closely as I can. I began to follow missing money just a few years ago when I was reading the history of the end of World War I, when Herbert Hoover took $50 million from Congress to feed the poor, and it was actually going into an army, the Solidaris and the Vaslav's army, that would make war against the Soviet Union and arm Hitler. Our tax dollars were put to that purpose, so that millions of dollars through subterfuge was funding armies. And then I mentioned before the burglary in Nice, France in 1977 of $10 million, where Albert Spaghieri said it was for Nazi fascist purposes, and he was in the police department, and he left. And they're Paris thieves. Recently, I mentioned November 1980, that got $12 million and emptied vaults and just left with this $12 million saying, thank you. And they wrote on the wall, without hate, arms, and violence. And I've mentioned other big, large accounts of money that are missing. $140 million of Mr. Eli Pincus, and he and his wife died simultaneously, one in Monte Carlo in Cannes, France, this last October, and he died in Switzerland, and they had died of cyanide, the same thing that this professor at Stanford just died from this week. And I mentioned the Nugent Hand affair. I'm going to go back to that this evening. $50 million that was missing out of Australia. It was a CIA bank set up by the CIA that had to do with heroin traffic and CIA funding for agents in Australia. And it was linked to John Paisley and the Kennedy assassination. Paisley had links to Lee Harvey Oswald and the Soviet Union through the National Security Council. But very many people involved with this Nugent Hand Bank died in the last year. So that many times on this program, I talk about floating money. And in conjunction with that, I mentioned a small amount of money that was taken out of the Wells Fargo Bank in Beverly Hills recently. It started as a little story, $2.3 million, and then it became $21 million, and the amount kept going up until now it may be $200 or $300 million. And the story just escalated in proportions, and where the money could be going is what I think is important about it. Now, I'm going to tell you some of the characters involved in this script and then go through the details of them so you get an idea of how broad it is. In the first of all place, the FBI is into this case now because of the bank robbery, the money missing, and international implications. And the FBI is investigating non-boxing figures. It all started with a Muhammad Ali sports group. That was the name of a group that allegedly took this money for boxers. And now the FBI has said, we're looking into figures other than boxers, but they didn't say who. They're looking into organizations other than boxing, but the FBI as yet haven't said who. The money that is involved here involves money that came in from Australia, and the Harold Smith, who's the main lead character of this story, was making trips from Switzerland back and forth to Australia, and then to Hong Kong. Those are the same areas that we're putting money into the Nugent Hand Bank was in Australia. The locale for the operations, or the heart of it, seems to be the Beverly Hills Bank, the Wells Fargo Bank of Beverly Hills, even though it involves many branches of the Wells Fargo Bank, and the interesting part is the San Francisco banks, because of so much international gun-running, narcotics traffic linked to the CIA and the FBI, as examples, the SLA story and the Jonestown story and the one that I mentioned, these characters that I'm going to be probably doing next week that escalated with the murder of a woman. Her name is Miss McDonald. This story involves Madison Square Garden, links to Madison Square Garden, that is controlled by Gulf and Western. And that was the conduit of the CIA money that went into CREEP, the Committee to Reelect the President, Maurice Stans, the Gemstone Files, the secret millions of dollars to alter the election or the assurance of the election of Richard Nixon, the conduit of Gulf and Western. And they own Madison Square Garden, and this case involves Madison Square Garden. It involves international narcotic money, which I'm sure will link up. There's nobody who has more expertise into the narcotics and the international than Robert Vesco, who's very closely associated, not with Billy Carter, but with the entire Howard Hughes organization, the Ronald Reagan organization, and that gang. It involves Las Vegas and Caesar's Palace. And last week, Frank Sinatra just got his permit to get involved in the casino at Caesar's Palace. It involves an attorney by the name of Paul Caruso. The lead character in this story, Mr. Harold Smith, is missing now. He says that you can see why, as we go into the story, they're trying to kill him. He expects that he'll be killed, but he's holding documents that are very important to the scandalous pilfering of the Wells Fargo banks and the branches and the branch managers for the last 8 or 9 years. That is $300 million, and all of a sudden they tried to pin him for the $21 million. Now, I think that $300 million could be the conduit of espionage money in California, and that Smith probably is telling the truth. And he has threatened to tell everything, and that he's holding documents that this has gone on through these branches of the Wells Fargo Bank in Santa Monica, the Miracle Mile, and up through the state. And he says he'll tell everything, and he called for his attorney, Paul Caruso. Well, I know that the Manson family was under the direction of the FBI and the CIA. It was a COINTEL operation for many reasons that I studied. And last week, Peter Pitches, the sheriff, who was in charge of the Manson operation at the Spahn Ranch, which was run by the Hughes organization. Peter Pitches testified for Frank Sinatra at Caesar's Palace, saying, if Sinatra is involved in the mob, then I'm the godfather. And it's a complicated web, but Paul Caruso sat with Sue Atkins when she broke the story of the Manson family. Along with her was Lawrence Schiller, who also was linked to great confessions at the time, the Lenny Bruce case, Marilyn Monroe, Jack Ruby. The same cast of characters runs through these dramas, so that this Harold Smith is saying, I have documents to prove what's going on at these banks and that we're just sucked in. We're little minnows. He isn't saying he's innocent, but he said we're minnows. And Paul Caruso of the Manson family will be his attorney if and when he surfaces. As I say, Sinatra this week was just testifying about getting his position at Caesar's Palace, and this also involves Caesar's Palace in Vegas and then on to the New Jersey tables. The chairman of Madison Square Garden that has been brought into this case, he was at Ronald Reagan's birthday party this week. He was the public relations man that got Reagan started on his career, and he's close to Reagan, and Madison Square Garden ties into this. Ronald Reagan announced this week that he's going to take his first presidential trip, and you think it would be Paris or London or some world center, Brazil or whatever. He's taking Air Force One to Tijuana, and I think that this story has the seeds of Reagan-gate, and I think he's going to go to Tijuana for very important reasons, not to Mexico to see the president of Mexico. He just saw him. I think his trip to Tijuana, if he goes there, is linked directly to what happened to the Wells Fargo banks and where the money went. And is it linked to him and his buddies and the Vegas gang and Paul Laxalt? Because this goes right to Vegas. And Paul Laxalt, the senator from Vegas, was the governor of Las Vegas. And he's the liaison of Congress to Ronald Reagan. I still want to call him Nixon. So you have, and federal money that went into an operation, the federal U.S. government money that went in to an operation in Pasadena that brought Harold Smith into the operation. And then, last but not least, there's Dan Rather of the Eastern Seaboard breaking this story and nudging it on. He seemed to be the one that got it off the ground, and Dan Rather has his finger in it, which would be appropriate for the people on the East Coast, the Council of Foreign Relations and the Trilateral and the George Bush gang to begin to push Ronnie out or aside and to begin to peel off layers of the crime syndicate and the mob that have surrounded Reagan all of his life. It was a very good cover story that he made to be president of the United States, but the real backgrounds have the connections of him or even properly exposed of Nixon before him have never been put out on the table. Now, the FBI had some conclusions about this investigation. They were in the Village Voice in January 14th of this year, and they said, just one part of an article said, coming out of Beverly Hills, out of the Wells Fargo Bank, are unknown sources of money thought to be cocaine and drugs. The FBI is investigating television networks that broadcast fights, Las Vegas casinos that bankroll boxing. They're going to investigate corporate power, monopolies, skimming, extortion, conspiracy, bribery, mail fraud, and tax evasion. Now, the FBI does all of that. They'll be busy for quite a few years, but there are many tentacles to this story, and they're important to follow. Well, who is Mr. Harold Smith? Let's go into, now that I've told you the conclusions or some of the tentacles, we'll talk about Harold Smith. He's a guy that didn't have any money to speak of in 1977, 78. He dropped a bombshell that was printed in the Los Angeles Times on February the 4th. He's been charged with taking embezzlement, $21 million out of the Wells Fargo Bank. And he said the real amount, as I said before, is $200 to $300 million. He said, I just came back from Switzerland. This is from the Los Angeles Times. He reminds me of William Taub. I've done stories about him, how he went to Europe and his life was in danger, and he came back and wrote a book and spilled the beans of some of the scandals he was involved in. They run to Switzerland fast, probably, and leave copies of their diaries or their documents that become their life insurance so they won't be killed. And maybe the investigation will be halted or shut. He said, I just got back from Switzerland. We never did get the $21 million I'm charged with, and we're not talking about $21 million. He said this is going to reach at least 15 different bank managers, 20 different Wells Fargo banks throughout California. And once I do what I am going to do, and I know they're out to try and stop me because they tried to kill me, he said, and my family before I left, this thing involves bank officials going 8 or 9 years, going back 8 or 9 years. We were used as pigeons. Once the public is aware of these documents, and I'm going to turn the documents over, I can foresee a run of Wells Fargo banks of people getting their money out of these banks like you've never seen in the history of banking. The alleged fraud was accomplished through an international manipulation of funds. I don't know what documents he has. He backed up his allegations. He said, why don't you start with the Wilshire Miracle Mile manager, Gene Kawakami, and Wells Fargo Bank denied that he had any involvement. Then they quickly dismissed Kawakami. Smith said, why don't you start with the bank manager in Beverly Hills? That's a place to start. If he's been telephoning various people, news media people in Los Angeles and the New York Times. I'm going to talk about the way the press has been handling this story, too. The New York Times just loves it. They have 2 pages back-to-back, full pages. It started in the sports section, or page 9, 2 million missing, and so forth. And it's building itself up to the second and third pages of some newspapers that I'm taking, and other papers aren't caring at all. Smith said, start with the Beverly Hills Bank, the bank manager, for a start. It is there that you will find the beginning of what I guarantee is one of the biggest cases of fraud and embezzlement involving numerous branches and personnel within the Wells Fargo system. Now, if it was just money that was being embezzled for certain purposes, It would be an interesting story, because I do like to watch where this money floats, if you can follow it. But money such as the Nugan handbag that was all CIA money that goes to pay off certain agents or to kill other people who know too much. The interest I have in this Wells Fargo story is because there's been so much counterintelligence in the state of California and so much confusion about where money is coming from and how these people operate that create things like the SLA is the CIA that takes a lot of money. So Smith is charging that go to the bank managers, and that's where you'll get your first lead. Now, where will the scandal go? He says it will go from Wilshire Boulevard to Wells Fargo Bank in San Francisco, branches and officers and bank personnel in San Francisco. And there, as I said, there's so much counterintelligence in San Francisco. And my concern about certain agents, that, such as Charles Bates of the FBI, who was in Chicago when Fred Hampton was killed as part of the COINTEL program, who's sitting there waiting to pounce. He works for a TV station and for movies, and he's on salary with the news media, and he sat at the house of Randolph Hearst and kept all information about who really had kidnapped Patty Hearst and the links of Donald DeFries to the Los Angeles Police Department and so forth. He intercepted every message and stood at the doorway of Randolph Hearst's home and diverted real stories and kept up this false looking for Patty when they knew where she was. And people like Charles Bates are really working on somewhat of a non-salary, and I've predicted that San Francisco would have a whole series of violences. So if this money is up in San Francisco banks, it could be used for these kinds of purposes. What does the Wells Fargo Bank say? They say it's ridiculous that they don't acknowledge that any more than $21 million was taken. The bank says the allegation is absurd. That's one of the quotations in the paper. At the same time, according to the New York Times, the Wells Fargo Bank has had the FBI in to examine their books. They're looking at the financing of their books. Two aircraft allegedly owned by the organization that was supposed to have taken the $21 million, the Muhammad Ali, the promotion fight group, took two airplanes. The FBI says they're not the subject of an FBI search. They don't want the airplanes. The New York Times says, in quotes, the magnitude of the alleged fraud has stunned the California banking community. There is speculation that Wells Fargo's computers have been systematically manipulated for perhaps a year or more, the computers. On the other hand, they ask that all documents be sealed. Wells Fargo has put under provision of California law that everything be kept from public scrutiny, and Wells Fargo says this is simply a problem of computer technology. A bank employee who could have manipulated many accounts at one time. So they've locked up most of the information. The FBI is not going over the aircrafts that are owned by the people involved or looking for them, but they admit it is a huge problem, and I think, as I say, we're going to hear a lot about it for a long time. This is the end of the first 30 minutes. When I get back, second half, I'm going into some more tentacles of how I think it reaches into the Regan Gate and where I think this could lead if they try to find, if in fact the books show there are these missing millions. Did they come from Australia? Is this the CIA money that was brought there to bring that terrorism into California that Haig and Regan are talking about? That's what I'm suspicious of. We'll take a break now and get back to that question for the second half hour.
This concludes the first half of World Watchers International with Mae Brussel. We will return with the second half after a brief pause.